when he had said this, he went ahead going to Jerusalem. He came to Bethany, drew near the Mount of Olives. He sent two disciples. Now, wouldn't you love to be these two guys? I mean, this is the kind of assignment I would get. You know, I don't get to preach to 5,000. I want you to go get the donkey. He sent two disciples saying, go into the village, this village over here. When you enter it, you'll find a donkey, a colt, that nobody has ever ridden. Loose it, untie it, bring it. And if they ask you, hey, what are you doing taking my donkey? You say, the Lord has need of it. And can you imagine the conversation of those two guys on their way going, we're going to steal a donkey. Jesus is telling us to steal a donkey. And then all he tells us to do is, the Lord has need of it. I mean, anyway, they were loosing the colt. The owners came out, of course. Why are you doing this? Why? You're taking my donkey. The Lord has need of him. Now, I encourage you, don't try that at your car dealership. Don't do that. As they brought him to Jesus, they began to throw their clothes on the colt, and other people began to throw their clothes on the ground as he walked. That's a sign of joy. That was a tradition of joy. They were excited. And what happened when the people began to sing, they began to shout out saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Remember, that's the second time we've heard that phrase. When was the first one? When the angels came and sang, they said the same thing at his birth. And the Pharisees, the religious people, said, hey, we don't do stuff like that around here at this church, boy. Teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones will immediately cry out. Let's pray. Lord, I ask you just to speak to us. I pray that you will just make us aware. Make us aware, Lord. I thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, for those of all you who are here on time, you just experienced all the different types of worship that I could find in the Bible. Different styles, statements. Now, they said about leaping. I considered the tumbling as leaping. Dancing, singing. They wrote poetry. They wrote songs. We sang. We celebrated. We shouted. Okay? This particular story is called the triumphal entry. Jesus is going to be dead in a week. He comes into Jerusalem, and they begin to wave palm branches, throw their clothes in front. They're celebrating. Some are shouting. Some are singing. They're praising God. And then these religious people, like some of us in here, who are more concerned with their reputation, with their what people think, said, whoa, you need to calm them people down now. And Jesus makes this statement about himself that you need to catch. And this is where the Lord began to explode this thing of worship. He said, now who were they worshiping? Him. He said, if they don't do it, the rocks are going to cry out. Now I want you to gather a couple of thoughts today, but I want you to wonder, figure this thing out, that worship, who am I? I am a worshiper. Worship is important. It's not necessarily style, it's worship. Singing, dancing, falling on your face, kneeling, all these things. God the Father. Why could Jesus say that and not be thought of as arrogant? Because Jesus knew the heart of God the Father. Now this is important. If you don't get this, I'll lose you. I want you to get this. God is committed to seeing Jesus Christ worshiped. The Father is going to see His boy worshiped. He is committed to it. What did He say right here? Please see this. This is incredible. Let this hit you upside the head. He's saying, God will violate His own laws of nature to see His Son worshiped. God's the one that set the nature and laws of nature up. Rocks don't cry out, do they? Rocks don't sing. Rocks just sit there. Worshiping His Son is so important, is so gonna happen, that if we don't do it, God will violate His own rules to make sure His Son is worshiped. Now that's big. Everybody say, wow. That's big. You gotta understand that God is gonna see worship was created for us because it does some things, but it's so important that we need to understand. I want to quickly walk through this because we got to do something at the end. All right? So take your notes, do all that. Don't pay attention, because if you pay attention, I'll go fast. You know, if I don't think you're getting it, I got to stay there. What is praise and worship? It tells us what is praise and worship. If this is so important, what is it? It can't be, you know, most people think praise and worship, praise, especially if you're in a charismatic church, praise is the fast songs. That's the loud, fast song. I ran out of that grave. You kind of can't help it. You kind of got to do a little jig, you know, and you shout. That's praise. And worship are the slow songs. That you are worthy, Lord. The ones we weep to and kneel to. And that is completely wrong. Praise and worship, first of all, the word worship means literally to bow, to stoop down, to bow before as an act of submission. That's what worship is. I am bowing before you as an act of submission. Praise is this. It is a celebration. It is a declaration. It means to exalt. A lauding of something that is praiseworthy. Lauding means glorifying. I'm glorifying this. Okay? Here's what I want you to hear. Please hear this statement. You will bow before the things you exalt. Praise and worship is praise is building up, exalting. Worship is bowing down. Worship is bowing down. Isn't that a pretty girl right there? That's my new granddaughter, Adeline Grace. First time in church. First time I held her, I looked at my son Micah and I went, "Son, you're officially cut out of the inheritance. I think she's going to get it all." And then, Benjamin's little girl now can call my name and hug me and say, "I love you, Pop." And I told Benjamin, I said, you ain't getting nothing. Nothing. Man, why did they make them granddaughters? That's bad. Woo. Anyway, so here's what we're doing. Praise and worship. Praise, by definition, is exalting something. It is celebrating something, declaring something. The name of Jesus, that song, even though it's a slow song, it was a praise song. What a powerful name it is. What a powerful name it is. Worship is bowing to things you exalt. Are you hearing me? You will. Let me just say this. All of you, every one of you, worship something. We were made to. That's part of our makeup as God's creatures. We were made to worship. And so every one of you are worshiping something. If you exalt money, you'll bow before it. Right? See how it works? Some of you go, brother, I don't worship nothing. I'm American. I'm a Southern male. We don't worship nothing. Well, let me tell you, you worship yourself. Because you've exalted you and your opinion above anything. And so you're bowing to yourself and your opinion. You're worshiping you. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Well, you're worshiping yourself. What does the drug addict do? They worship their craving. I gotta have it. And they worship it. They bow to it. You see how it works? Every one of you are worshiping something. Every one of you are praising something. You're exalting something. And if you don't, John the Baptist said it like this. This is what he was saying. He said, John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. Praise and worship is coming into a church service or to your quiet time to exalt Jesus and bow everything else before Him. It is to bow my hurt feelings, my abused self, my sin, my problems, everything bows before what I exalt. That's what praise and worship is. Do you see that? You're exalting somebody. Some people exalt sports. I mean, we just came out. We're in spring now, but some people exalt deer hunting. You know, you don't see them until after deer season, you know. Everything shuts down. You know, you talk to their wives and they go, deer season, brother. I don't know where he is. What are you doing? You've exalted something and you're bowing to that. Does that make sense? You see that? Now, how do we worship? How do we worship? True worship. John 4:23 says this, but the hour is coming and now is when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship. Did you see that? He's seeking. He wants. He doesn't need it. He wants it. Why does He want it? Why does He want you to worship Him? Because when you worship Him, you take your eyes off of everything else. I take my eyes off my problems, and so now my problems descend, my God ascends, and all of a sudden miracles happen in my life. See, His love can't break through as long as you're exalting something else. Give you an example, just a silly example. Me and Amy deal with, I know this is funny, but we deal with teenage girls all the time. It used to be a lot more when we had 7 teenagers in our house, teenage boys. It was amazing how many girls wanted to come to my house. And the boys would say, Dad, you're intimidating. I said, well, I'm trying to run them off. Can't handle all these women around. Man, they mess you up. But here's the deal. We deal with it a lot of times, and here's what happens. These girls, these teenage girls, a lot of it's because they don't have a good father that loves them. They exalt having a boyfriend. They can't live without a boyfriend, and so they bow to that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so here's what Jesus is saying. I want you to put me because God knows his heart toward us. He don't need anything from us. He wants to bless us. He died to get blessings to us. So he knows if you got your eyes on him, he's going to slip blessings in there on you. Because he wants to. He's a good father. So what did he say? He said you got to worship me in spirit and in truth. Let's look at the spirit part. You got to let the Bible interpret the Bible. I've heard people preach, oh, Brother Allen, this is when we start speaking in tongues. I believe in speaking in tongues. I like to speak. I speak in tongues. I like it. I've found the Holy Spirit to be a real asset to my ministry. But that ain't it. The Spirit is when I am led by the Spirit. I know people that speak in tongues that are mean as hell. Man, obviously she does too. Hit a nerve there, didn't it? Do you understand? First of all, true worship must be Spirit-led. So what does that mean? First of all, I must be born again. I must have the implanted Holy Spirit inside of me. Because if I don't, I'm going to bring sacrifices. I'm going to try to earn from the Lord. I'm going to try to earn His favor, His presence. There are people that do gyrations and say certain prayers and walk on beads and all that stuff because they think if I do it just right, God will come through. No. God is seeking people that are not worshiping Him to get His presence. There He's seeking people to worship Him that know His presence. Does that make sense? So I must be born again. Greatest privilege of salvation is I can come into the presence of the Father. So what does that mean? First of all, He leads us to the Father. His name is Helper. He is here. The Holy Spirit is not Casper, the friendly ghost. He is not here to do anything but lead us, show us the Father. So true worship comes when He leads me, when I see Him. He shows me, He helps me see Him, and He teaches me. I know His heart. The more I begin to do that, the more I worship. See, I know some of you are worshipers. You can worship whether it's good praise, bad praise. Now, we have good musicians here. But there was a whole long time in our church history that it was not so much. I'll just tell you how bad it was. I was the praise leader. I was about the best one on the... Hey, you had to say, wow. I mean, it was bad. But Amy can tell you, those are some of the best praise services we've ever had. Because we came seeking Him, led of the Spirit, and people that fall in love with God and let the Holy Spirit, if you would come here, God speaks to me all the time during worship. Because I'm led into worship by the Holy Spirit, and He begins to show me things. This is how much I love you. Just like that little thing, I begin to weep. God, you didn't just barely pay for all my sins. You went above and by. You went, some of you said, oh, it's dripping. Yeah, because God went above and beyond. And see, the only way you know that, you can't learn that. You can't learn it by studying. It comes when the Spirit reveals it to you. When He shows you something and you can't help but go, oh God, you're good. He reveals, He sees, He shows you things that you know. It is not based on my feelings. I did something I hadn't done in a couple of years. My son decided he wanted to play Little League Baseball again, my 13-year-old. And so I spent the whole day. And my wife did not join me. I think I'm a little bitter. I got up there at 8:20. She went shopping. I had to bring Matthew with me. I mean, I was up there till about 7:30 last night. And I realized that I'm one of the oldest dads out here. These are all young men. They're all young, or the grandpas that are sitting in chairs. Man, I woke up this morning. I sat there and I looked at my alarm clock and I could not get my feet to move. I said, come on. Finally, I just had to lean forward and either fall or catch up. I said, Amy, did you beat me last night? I mean, I got this big. I planned this service. The Lord told me about this service, and it was better than I. Man, I loved what happened here today. I want the kids to express their gifts, their dance, their painting. That I want the church to be the center of the arts. I want all of those things. Man, it's awesome and wonderful. But let me tell you something. I got up this morning and I felt like calling in sick. The first thing I did was go to the cafe. I need a double shot of coffee, please. And I sat there. Man. The Spirit tells you it ain't based on how I feel. It's based on how worthy He is. And what I know about God, what He has revealed about God to me, made me, compelled me to dance and lift my hand. And I'm going to tell you, because I feel so much better than I did when I walked in here, my body has responded to the presence of God. So some of you need to get your head out of your tail when you walk in here and say, I'm going to worship God no matter how I feel. And if you're offended, I said, get your head out of your tail. I can say it harder than that if I want to. My wife's pointing at me. All right, I'm going to leave that alone. He said, you got to worship me in spirit. I mean, you're led by the Spirit. Next one, he said, worship me in truth. One of the greatest examples of this is in Acts 17. The Athenians, Paul stood at this place. The Athenians worshipped all kinds of things. They were kind of like now. We don't build statues, but we sure do worship a lot of stuff. The way we bow to athletes. They dumb as that wall there, but they can jump out of the ceiling, so But we won't do that at church when the real God comes. Don't nobody shout me down now. But here's what he said. They had a statue to the unknown God. And so Paul said, let me tell you about that guy. And so here's what he said. He stood, men of faith, I perceive that you are very religious. That's why when they ask you, are you religious? You say, no. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I am not religious, because religious people, Jesus didn't like them. For I was passing through and considered the objects of your worship, and I even found an altar with this inscription. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him, I'm going to proclaim him to you. He starts talking about Jesus. The God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and Lord of earth, he does not dwell in temples made of hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men dwell all the face of the earth, has determined and pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwelling, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far off from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. Also, some of your own poets have said, for we also are his offspring. In God I have the truth of who God is. I worship, I lift my hands, because God is the God of the universe. Jesus Christ is the only difference between Buddha. How do you know, Brother Allen? How do you know that Islam is not right? How do you know that Buddha is not right? Because they still go and worship at their grave. Our God rose again. They could not prove him different. Do you understand? Do you understand that the 500 or so people that he saw, take this one to college students, and watch your professor squirm. According to human nature, every psychologist knows that if it's a lie, you put pressure on them, they'll break. 500 people, most of them went to their day, death, cruel, cross, that saw Jesus after life. See, Rome had to prove he was stolen. They had to prove he was still dead. They needed to do it. They tortured all 500. None of them broke because all of them saw. Psychologists will tell you that is a mental impossibility. Somebody would go under the pressure. No, we didn't really see him. It was a lie. And none of them did. They all went to their death saying, Jesus Christ is alive. That's the truth. That's why we worship him. If you worship him for any other reason other than who he is, you'll be basing it. If he does something, you worship him because of what he did. Well, what happens when he doesn't come through the way you want him to? You better worship him based on the truth. He is the Lord God Almighty. He's bigger. What does that mean? I worship him because he's bigger than any problem I got. He's bigger than anything. He's bigger than my thoughts. He is Lord. Amen? So he says, if you're going to worship him, you got to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, let me quickly just say this. Why? What happens when we worship? Why do we worship? Why do we do it? Number one, it brings agreement. Right now in heaven, there are people kneeling. There are people shouting out. There are people reading. There are creatures singing, shouting, holy, holy, holy. Do you realize right now worship is going on? And they are giving their life to it and think it's a great life. Every time they raise up to see another glimpse of him, holy, holy, you are the Lord. Right now it comes into agreement. So when I worship, whether in my quiet time, whether here at church, I am coming into agreement. Did not he tell us to pray for that? He said in Matthew 6, when he taught us to pray, God, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Praise and worship is happening right now in heaven. And when I do it, I'm coming into agreement. I reach up and bring a little bit of heaven down here. Second one. Man, I wish you'd get this. The enemy can't stand it. I don't have time to go into this, but all I can tell you is Satan was an archangel and he was in charge of the throne room. The scripture gives us an inclination. He was in charge of the worship that went on in heaven. So when you worship, you remind him of what he has lost. When I worship, he can't stand it. I can tell you right now, it might just be me. I might be silly Brother Allen, and I might be funny me. Am I the only one that Satan messes with? Bruce, does he mess with you sometimes? Yeah, no, never. Am I the only one that has problems or aggravations or, you know, things don't go right and Satan's trying to steal stuff and all that? You know, when are you going to wake up and realize he cannot stand praise and worship? How do we know this? First of all, the Bible, why did Saul, who was tormented by a demon, the Bible says, an evil spirit, how did he get calm? How did he get loose? How did he relieve that pressure? He called this little worshiper named David to sing the songs of Zion, and all of a sudden, praise and worship absolutely could not stand, the demon couldn't stand in the presence of worship. Some of you argue on your way to church and you let it affect your worship. I'm telling you, I tell the devil, come on, spirit of depression, come on, anger, come on, spirit of murder. You know, I'm like Billy Graham and his wife. I'll never divorce my wife. Now, I might kill her, but I won't divorce her. Come on, you spirit of anger, we going to church. We going to my quiet time. Turn to praise and worship. Some of you don't like it loud. When I'm having a bad day, I want it louder. Come on, let me torment you a little bit. When I begin to worship, when I begin to praise, all of a sudden those demons leave because they cannot stand when you begin to worship. Man, when you going to realize that? Well, I don't feel like praising. I don't feel like... Well, just stay in your doldrums then. Man, I regularly bring demons to church. Come on! Come on! You been pestering me all week? Come on! You sit right here beside... No, I didn't mean to say that. Sit on that side. Man, I'm going to pay for that one. Do you understand? You come on and then you say, look, listen to that demon. What a beautiful name is Jesus. He's bigger. Forever he is faithful. You hear that lying spirit? You tell me, I'm not going to make it. This is not going to happen. He is forever faithful. You hear that? And you start driving him nuts for a change. Last one. It ushers in the presence of God. For no other reason. The Bible says, he builds his throne in the midst of the praise of the saints. He comes and builds his throne. We have had hundreds of testimonies over the life of this church of people getting healed during praise and worship. Of people getting saved. I've had people during praise and worship walk down, I gotta get saved right now, I don't know what it is. Will you pray for God's touching? I've had people say, when I lifted my hands, chains dropped off me. I heard them hit the ground from addictions and all that. Why? Why? Listen to me. Why? It is because when God is around, that breaks down the doors of impossibility. And so every miracle, everything. We used to have a saying years ago, and the Lord reminded me of what our job, I used to tell the praise teams and all that, our job is just to get them into the presence of God. And then he can do whatever he wants to do. And he talks to people. I've had people walk up, sermon like this, walk up and say, man, the Lord convicted me. I need to be baptized. Well, who said anything about that? When the presence of God is around, and everybody listen to me, everybody look at me. He is here. right now. Todd worshiped him in spirit and truth. I did. What does that mean? He built his throne and sat down. And when he walks in the room, stuff just begins to happen. Salvations begin to happen. Healings begin to happen. He is here. There's some of you, I looked around. Everybody look at me while they're getting ready, because we got to do something. I looked around. Some of you were crying. Some of you lifted your hands for the first time. You could tell you were uncomfortable when you went. Why? Because there was an air in the room that you knew. Your body, your physical body. Some of you had this deep conviction, or you felt something. Man, what was I feeling? What is happening? Your physical body is responding to the presence of the Almighty God. I believe the Lord is going to... I can't tell you how many times I've had a conundrum. I'm using my education, baby, finally. And I just forget about it. I begin to exalt God. And all of a sudden, the answer comes just out of the blue. Why? Because I'm in the presence of the smartest creature in the universe. I'm in the presence of wisdom. I'm in the presence of healing. Now what I want us to do right now is you be real still. I don't want anybody moving around. That's a demon trying to get to the bathroom. I ain't kidding you, man. I know for a fact demons jump on people's bladders right at the right time to get you out of the room, because they don't want to be in here. Some of you brought some demons of bitterness with you. Some unforgiveness, some addictions, some things. You brought that demon with you because it's been with you a long time. And when the presence of God shows up, I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. Oh, I better call somebody. The King of the universe is here. I want to give you one last example. I love my sons dearly. dearly. Absolutely love them. But, you know, I don't ever trust a teenager. And if you trust your teenager, you're a fool. They already got you. I can love them and trust them a little bit, but I'm going to check up on them. Make sure they are where they say they are. And if you don't, I'm going to say it again, you're a fool. I got good, godly teenagers, and you're still a fool if you believe them. I went in one place here in town. It's a bar. And it's a bar. And I know, what do people do at bars? I went and make sure, because I specifically told, I had heard a rumor, and I said, don't be in there. You understand? Yes, sir. But I had heard a rumor he had been there a few times. So I wanted to make sure me and him were communicating. So Saturday evening, I walk in this bar. And it's a bar. I know what they're doing in there. I'm not stupid. And I walk in, and of course I know everybody in there. It is hilarious. They start putting their drinks down behind their feet, putting their cigarettes behind their back. How you doing, brother? Hey, man, what's going on? I mean, they're hiding their drinks and everything. I'm like, hello? You're in a bar. I'm pretty clear. I'm not here for you this time. Lord, remind me of that this morning. I think that's what a lot of us do. You ever had a new girlfriend, new girl you want to go out with? You just broke up with your last girlfriend, and the next night you're on a date with a new girlfriend you've been thinking about for months. But you go out. You go out out of town like Gulfport because you didn't want anybody. And all of a sudden, your old girlfriend walks in or her best friend walks in. And you go, oh my God. Start crawfishing. That's why a lot of you don't like praise and worship. Because you're messing around with another girlfriend. You think, I come to church and I'll slip. Think God doesn't know about that unforgiveness. You think you're fooling God, and so you don't like praise and worship because you're courting another girlfriend instead of the Lord. And all I'm asking you to do today, we're going to worship because He is worthy of it, whether you believe it or not. He is still the Lord of all. If you want to come to the altar and kneel, if you want to lay down on your face, lift your hands, we are going to experience, I believe God's going to heal some of you right now. I believe God's going to speak to some of you. Some of you are going to hear for the first time how much God loves you. And something's going to break off of you. All because that's what happened. And some of you are going to walk out of here going, that was dumb. Why? Because you wouldn't worship Him in spirit and truth. Let's rise to your feet. Please be as still as you can.